Brother Jeff, appreciate that. Good to see each of you tonight. We welcome you in the Lord's house. And to begin with, we'll do just a little bit of reviewing and then we'll move on. But let's turn to the fourth chapter of Genesis. And as we're turning, just want to remind everyone that what we're studying these three nights is the offerings and the offering. You notice the plural there, offerings, and then the singular. And of course, the offerings, we're referring to the different sacrifices that you read about in the Old Testament, sacrifices and offerings where they bring a lamb or a goat or an ox and they offer it on an altar. Or they bring with that, they'll bring some meal, some grain, maybe wheat or barley, and they offer that. And there are many, many of those in the Old Testament. And so we speak of offerings, plural. But these offerings in the Old Testament that was given by God taught the people how to worship Him and how to be taught concerning the coming Messiah. These offerings were all picturing the work of Christ and His one offering that He made on the cross of Calvary. And it pictures how some of them picture different aspects of His death and others picture aspects of His resurrection. And the gospel is taught by the offering. And the offerings pictured the back, the Bible uses the word a shadow. An offering is a shadow of a good thing to come, something that is casting the shadow. If you see a shadow, it'll tell you something about the person that cast it, but it can't give the fullness of it. And of course, when Christ came, they saw Him in all of His glory and all of His fullness when He came the first time. And we'll see it when He comes the second time or when we go to heaven at our death. But Christ is revealed by these offerings. And we were speaking last night of individuals throughout history, since the days of Adam, have offered offerings. They build altars. Sometimes they build the altars of rocks. And the Lord taught them. He said, "There, when you build an altar that way, do not work on the rocks or the stones. Just don't do anything to them, because it's not going to bring attention." They'll say, "Man, that's really fixed neat there. Well, that fellow did a good job." And it'll bring glory to human beings who built the altar. And that's not the point of it. It is to reveal things about Christ. And so they had two types. They'd have dirt. Sometimes didn't have enough rocks in here. They'd build a mound of dirt. And they'd offer an offering upon it. Or they would take unhewn rocks that haven't been messed with, just as they were found in the fields. And they would build them up and then put their sacrifice on that and offer it to the Lord. So, but individuals did that throughout history. And Genesis gives us the history spiritually from the creation of the world by God down to the days of Moses, a period of about 2,500 years. And that is summarized in the book of Genesis. And it mentions that in the book of Genesis that Abraham, he built altars. He made offerings. Isaac did. Jacob did. And Melchizedek mentions him. The book of Job mentions, and that was the same period of time, Job offered things too, offered sacrifices to the Lord. And so you'd have all of these. But when you examine them, it doesn't tell you too much about them because they're all of the same. And the only place that is brought out exactly what these offerings were was the first time that's recorded in the Bible. And that's in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Doesn't say a lot, but in those few verses, it does say quite a bit for four verses. And those four verses tells us something about all the other individuals, like Abraham, Isaac, Noah, how they offered individually. And when Israel was organized as a nation, individual offerings continued right up until the days of Jesus Christ when he came the first time and fulfilled those offerings. And so what we're talking about is how individuals would worship and how they could worship, whether they were Jewish, of Jewish descent, or whether they were Gentiles. And this is something that the Lord had given. And then when you come to the book of Exodus, at the beginning of Exodus, it tells us how the nation of Israel, as a nation, were to offer offerings. And they would still have individuals bringing offerings. And he doesn't, the thing that's introduced that's new is how they as a nation would offer. And we'll be looking at that tonight. But to lay the background, we want to go back to what we covered last night concerning this first time that it's mentioned. And what's mentioned the first time, when you see it later in the book of Genesis, and then when individuals make them throughout the rest of the Old Testament, and it refers to them, it's what it's referring to. And the first time it lays the foundation of what it's all about. So let's take a look here again at the fourth chapter, and then we'll probably mention a few other things in addition to what we said last night. In the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse 3, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." All right, now we didn't deal with that verse last night, but we're going to deal with these again. The thing about it is most people throughout history have been very religious. And very few people that aren't religious. And even atheists are religious. Atheism is a religion. But people are very religious. And most people are religious and have a God, unlike the atheists, of their own making, so to speak. And Abel, even though he had the training, He and his brother were evidently the first two sons that they had. And the way I understand it, they were twins. And Cain was born first of the twins, maybe just a few seconds or a few hours or a day or so. I don't know how long. But Cain was the older one, and he was the leader among the sons. So here, Cain brought, tells about him, bringing a sacrifice, an offering, but he made some changes. He made some changes. You notice here it says, in process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He was religious. An offering unto the Lord. And the word offering there, I pointed out last night, is the word mincha. And it has to do with a grain offering, wheat or barley. And we'll look at it a little more tonight. But anyway, he brought a grain offering. But that's all he brought. Just a grain offering. And then Abel, and it says, when he got done here, you notice that after, in the fourth verse, after the first two words, it has a comma. And when you read those together, notice we'll get the full understanding of it. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord and Abel. Abel brought one too. They both brought one. But then it goes on to say, concerning Abel, he must have brought something first. He brought a fruit of the ground. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now that's not a grain offering, that's an animal offering where the blood would be shed. And he goes on, he says, and he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. But Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. And we'll stop there for a moment. You see, the word offering in 3, 4, and 5 is used these several times, and it's this word mincha, and it refers to a grain offering. Cain brought a mincha. That's all he brought. Abel also brought a mincha, but he also brought of the firstling, or the best of his flock. He brought an animal sacrifice. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, but he didn't have to Cain's offering. He said, what was the difference? Well, one brought just a mincha. That was good. That wasn't enough. That didn't tell the story. That gives that can be very if you don't tell everything sometimes, it can be very misleading, and it can teach something that's not true. You only have part of the truth. And so that's what we have there. But he respected Abel and received his offering because it was not only a mincha of the grain, but it also had with it, it had an animal that was the best in his flock, where it was slain. When it was offered, it would be slain, the blood shed. And so it had, it taught the truth, and God respected that. Now, where did they learn this? Where did they learn this? They learned it from the Lord. The Lord taught them that he was going to send a Messiah, that he was going to suffer and die to take care of the sin problem. And so this was the way to worship, to remind them constantly that this was going to happen. God was going to provide, and that's God the Father, is going to provide a plan of salvation whereby people could be saved. And that Savior that was going to come, he was going to be like one of these sheep, one of these lambs, be the best you could find, one without blemish, picturing a Savior that was going to come that was going to be perfect. He would be righteous, no sin. And then he was going to die to pay for our sins and shed his blood. And he would be buried. And then the mincha, they would offer it at the same time. It was picturing a plant, a grain offering, where the seed had been put in the ground. It started its life with a burial. Then it came up. It was alive. So it's a picture of a resurrection from a burial. You see how that pictures Christ. The animal offering pictured, here's the one that has an offering. It hasn't been buried. It has an offering. It's never been buried in the ground. And here is this lamb. And it's perfect. It dies. And it's buried. And then the mincha picks up the story and said that was buried. It springs up to life. Well, what is that? That's the gospel.
Amen.
How Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and rose again according to the Scripture.
Yeah.
That's the gospel in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And that's what this offering was. In the book of Hebrews, we read last night, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 4, it has something very revealing. It doesn't say anything about Cain there. But it says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice by faith. Now, hold your place here and turn there. I want you to see that. That's a good verse to memorize. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, plural. See, he had the two offerings, gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He's still giving a testimony today. What he did, and we're reading about it, is a testimony to people throughout history that have read that. And that's where he was different than Cain. Cain didn't believe, but he did believe. Now, you say, by faith he offered. Abel offered it by faith. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, Romans the 10th chapter and verse 7. Romans the 10th chapter and verse 7, it tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, do you ever go up to a person and say, do you believe that? You say, what? Are you a believer? Believer in what? I've got to know. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, do you believe in Jesus? And some people could say today, I don't know who he is. Does he live here in town? And they would be serious. They don't know. How can they believe in Jesus without hearing something about him? Unless they hear the word of God as to how to be saved, what Christ is like, what he did, and how we can save, how can you believe? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. And hearing by the word of God. And so here it says, you say, boy, that Abel was a smart fellow. Did you see the offerings he made? He can't take any credit for that. He did that by faith. Somebody told him that. And the one that told him was the Lord. He revealed that before, and he told Cain too. But the difference was Cain said, oh, I'm going to do it a better way. I'm going to do I don't care about killing animals. I'm not going to kill that. I don't want to shed any blood. I'm just going to bring a grain offering. God said, that doesn't teach what I believe. That isn't what I'm talking about. That's not the way the salvation is. But Abel believed. And the evidence that he believed, he heard God's word. He heard how he was supposed to bring offerings. And he believed it. And he showed his faith by offering not only an animal sacrifice where the blood was shed, to pay for our sins, picturing how Christ would pay for our sin, but also how he'd rise from the dead after he'd paid it in full.
Amen.
See? Yeah. And so, by faith in the Word of God, by faith in the message of God, he offered a more, and because of that, and he believed that he offered, he showed his faith by offering these sacrifices. And that's the way it is today. You can't expect people in another country that's never heard about Jesus Christ to be saved and believe on him until they hear.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing. And the right kind of hearing that will save souls is this book, the Word of God. And when we preach its message out there, then it can grip their souls and the Holy Spirit can use it and they can come to saving faith in Christ. And they'll be saved. And that'll change the way they worship. See? And so here, Abel was a man of faith. His brother, though they were same parents, almost born at the same time, from most indications, they were twins. Far apart. Cain said, nah, I don't like that. I don't believe that. I believe in worship, though. I'm going to do it this way. So he revised. He started the first false religion.
Amen.
That's what false religion is. Many of them, they're worshiping God, at least in a way, but not in the way that's scriptural, in a way that's really acceptable. God won't accept that unless we do it in the right way. And so here, two brothers, how different they were. He believed in a new religion. He was the founder. Abel accepted the true religion by faith. He believed what God told him. He didn't manufacture that. It was taught to him by the Lord from the words that's in this book. Of course, he didn't have the Bible written in, but the words, the truth was still there, and the Lord was presenting it. And so this is what we need to say. This is the reason. Say, why would these brothers be so different? Faith. One believed what God said and the other didn't. That's the difference. That's why it's that way today. You think of all the different religions in the world. There's loads of different religions. Somebody's created, man-made here. Well, I think this way, I think this, whatever. Man, there'll be a new one starting someday, and there'll be a few more followers of that religion. But the true religion was first given by God, and people that accepted by faith.
Amen.
So this is the first thing we want to notice here. And here, an individual, one man, he came to worship the Lord, built an altar. He put a sacrifice on there, and along with it, also he put this grain offering. What was he doing? Teaching how the Savior I believe in is going to come someday, and that Savior is going to die and shed His blood for my sins, and then He's going to arise from the grave. And I can have the salvation. I can be free of all my sins and be right with God if I'll accept that Savior. And Abel did. He believed by faith. By faith he was saved, and by faith he showed that by the way he worshiped, which was the way that God taught him. Now Cain, even though he went wrong right at the beginning, the Lord was merciful to him. And I want to mention again something I said last night and say a little more here. You'll notice here, in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. He became angry, and his countenance fell. Boy, you can see it in his face. Oh, how angry he was. And he was angry at God, and he was angry at his brother. He was accepted and he wasn't. He's the oldest brother. He's younger than me. I'm the older brother. And he was upset. And so he says to him, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth. Then in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? God knew, but he wanted him to consider the question. And why is thy countenance fallen? Why do you look that angry look on your face? He said, if thou doest well, if you're doing the right thing, if you're doing what I told you, how to be saved and how to worship me, if you're doing well, shalt thou not be accepted? I would have accepted you the same way. You heard the same message, your brother. He believed it, you didn't. I would have accepted you if you'd believed it. And he said, if thou doest not well, well, if you admit you haven't done the right thing, you haven't believed what I told you, then there's an opportunity to go ahead and believe it now. Change. Repent. Change your mind. And then he says, sin, and I told you last night, this word sin is sometimes translated like this, sin, speaking of the sin, sometimes the very same word is translated sin offering. It's talking about an animal that's like a lamb that's being used as a sin offering to picture how Christ takes away sin. And you say, well, that's rare, isn't it? No, over 100 times. Over 100 times in the Old Testament. And here's one time I think they should have translated it a sin offering because of the context. The way you can tell when in these places it's sin offering because it's speaking about an animal that's going to be offered. And it speaks of that animal as sin. Well, they know it's referring to the sin offering, the animal that will have the sin symbolically laid on its head and will die for those sins symbolically laid on his head. And so it's translated sin offering. And over 100 times in the scriptures it's that way. And you'll notice here why I say, think that it should have been sin offering, because it goes on to say, he said, a sin offering lieth at the door. Now sin, the Bible says, with the heart, that's where our problem is. We starts in our heart, because sin begins in the heart. It doesn't lie out there and it's creeping towards you. We start on the inside. There's nothing out there really in nature that's causing it. The problem is that in our heart, we turn away from God. We want our way. We want to do it. We sin in our heart. The sin is in our being. But a sin offering is out there lying at the door. It's been walking around chewing on the grass for the day, and now it's resting, lying there. He said, there's a sin offering at the door. You can give one just like your brother did, and then I'll accept it, if you really believe that. Notice what he said here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Well, of course he would have. And if thou doest not well, not too, you're still alive, there's still opportunity to be saved and be accepted by the Lord. A sin offering lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. And you, I know what's in your heart. Oh, you're so upset about your brother. And I said, his desire will be towards you. He'll be friendly towards you. You're afraid that you've lost your position. And thou shalt rule over him. You're as the older brother, the head of the family, under after your father. But Cain still harbored in his heart that animosity, that hatred. He was accepted by God, and I wasn't. He was wroth. He showed it in his countenance. Mad. He didn't repent. And here he is. He's out in the field, and all of a sudden, it just all of that raised up in him, and he up and killed his brother. You know, false religion's been the result of a lot of persecution of Christians. You go back through history, people that believe as you and I believe, and what's preached in this church and other sound churches, have gone through a lot of persecution, have a lot of been put to death. Go all the way back to New Testament times. New Testament church have been suffering. And in the Old Testament, before churches were established, true believers in a lot of times suffered. And here, Cain started a new religion. He didn't get his way. He wanted his way rather than God's way. And he wanted his way rather than no matter his brother. And he didn't like his brother not following him. And he was being accepted and he was all upset. Finally just raised up in his hatred and killed his brother. Well, what a sad situation. Well, this passage of Scripture gives us briefly what they were supposed to offer as individuals. They were to bring an animal that was perfect, the firstling of the flock, something that was outstanding that could picture Jesus Christ and his in that. And then they were to bring grain offering from the field, wheat or barley, and they'd fix it a certain way, and they would bring it to the Lord and offer it to Him. And they were saying, "This is what I believe. This is what God said. He revealed this, and I was taught it by my parents, and they've I'm going to teach it to my children. And this is what God has told. This is what the prophets God's raised up. That's what they're telling us." This is God's way, and I believe it. And I'm going to show my faith in this way. That's the way he worshiped. And after this time, it mentions, for example, Noah. He offered sacrifices to the Lord, built altar and offered. Doesn't go into details as much here, mentioning from this few verses, but it just doesn't need to. Here it is. It's explained. But he offers the same kind of sacrifices. Later, it mentions Melchizedek. It mentions Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all through the book of Genesis from time to time. And the book of Job, which was written in the same for the same time period. Job lived about the same time as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he worshipped. But the reason it deals primarily with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because God, in his wisdom and with his sovereignty, he decided to call Abram and make a special nation from that his seed that would be the one through whom the Messiah that these offerings were picturing would come and fulfill these offerings. And so the book of Genesis, it lays the foundation here in the fourth chapter, explaining the basic principles of worship for individuals up to the time. To the time of Moses, when God called the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called them out of Egyptian bondage, organized them into a nation in Exodus, and then God gives some of the same things, but he gives it for the nation as a whole, and they were still to continue the individual offerings. The individual offerings, he wouldn't change and say, we're going to revise everything. No, he was right the first time. God does it perfectly to begin with, and the offerings were what he wanted then, still the same, continued throughout the Old Testament period as for individual worship. And then for a nation to worship, he had some special things for them, and we're going to be studying about them. But remember, what started here in Genesis goes to all of the Old Testament. Now, it never says a lot about the explanation because it says enough here of what we need. The gospel is presented here. Just like in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, those first four verses, it says, here's the gospel. It's how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. How he was buried, and how he arose again, according to the Scriptures. He said, that's the gospel in a nutshell. And that's what these offerings were about, giving you gospel in a nutshell. And of course, the prophets came along, and they told more about that Savior throughout time, where he would be born, where he'd be raised, brought up, what particular family tree would come through, about his miracles, about more about his death and resurrection, and et cetera, et cetera. But see, that was a gospel in a nutshell. And that's how they were to worship. And then as a nation, when he gets there, and we're going to notice that in just a little while, get into it, he begins to deal with how they're to worship. So these are very important verses. So often in the Bible, when something is introduced that's for the first time, he will give enough explanation there that you'll understand the future references to it, but never say a lot more about it. And you look at the way Abraham worshiped. It mentions he built altars, brought animals there, sacrificed them. Doesn't give us a lot of very little detail. It doesn't need to. We've already got it at the beginning of the book. And you look and say, well, that's the way Abraham was doing. I see it now. And that's Isaac did. That's the way Noah did it. And so all the way through here, that was God's plan the first time. And when we come to Exodus, and we're going to notice in the book of Exodus, in the 29th chapter, and, yeah, we could turn there now. I guess we're ready. I always have something more to say, but that's always true. I've never finished a message yet that I didn't have something else I could have said. Exodus, the 29th chapter. Let's turn over there. Now, we see how they were doing as individuals in the book of Genesis. And throughout the rest of the Bible, how they did the same basic way throughout the Bible till Jesus came as individuals. But now as a nation, we establish them as a nation. Now remember, here Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their seed has grown. They become, at the end of the book of Genesis, they were made slaves in Egypt. And there they were in bondage. One day God raised up Moses. He said, lead my people out of there. I'm going to give you the power to do it. And you remember he went in there and he told him, said, God said, let my people go. And you remember how he sent the plagues and finally he brought them out. They went through the wilderness, and there in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, They entered into a covenant with God, the old covenant. And they were to worship the Lord in a certain way, continue offerings, not only as an individual, but now he was going to add something as a nation, as a group, as a whole nation. And he was going to have special ceremonies, would be teaching the same basic things, as we'll see. But it was for the whole nation. And so it would do it. But the individuals could still worship individually. And you've noticed, like Elijah, he built his own altar. It wasn't his. It was the same kind that he'd been taught throughout his the past. And he offered sacrifice just like in the past. And from time to time, different individuals offered, built altars and offered things that were pleasing to God, because it was the way that Abel offered, the way that individuals could offer up to the time Christ came and fulfilled it. Now, here in the book of Exodus, the 29th chapter, and looking at verses 38 through 42. Let's take a look at it. 38 to 42. Here it says, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar." And he's talking about the brazen altar. He has given them the plans for the tabernacle. He's given them the plan for the furniture in the courtyard and also within the tabernacle itself. And outside the tabernacle, the first altar they would see would be a brazen altar. And this was, the brazen altar was out in the courtyard in front of the tabernacle. He said, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually." And I was going to start something that's explained here. And he's going to start something that was to go through the history of the nation to the time of Christ's coming. And so this is to go on continually. There will be day by day this particular type of offering. And it'd be two lambs for the first year, day by day, continue. Verse 39. "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning." And that would be about when the sun was coming up. The Bible makes it clear about 6 o'clock, because the sun is coming up. "And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even," about the time the sun goes down, maybe around 6 in the evening. And so here were the daily offerings, not for an individual, but for the whole nation. This whole nation said, "You're our God. We believe what you say, and we're going to act accordingly." Well, not everybody makes a profession that's true to what they really believe. And some of them didn't, as, of course, the Bible reveals. But anyway, they made that agreement in the old covenant. "We'll do it, whatever you say, Lord." He said, "Well, if you keep what I tell you, if you do what I say, I'll make you a nation like no other nation. And I'll bless you greatly because of that. And Christ is going to come through you." Well, he made the covenant with them. Well, he said, "Now this is the way I want this nation to worship. And you're to have this daily offering every single day of the life of the nation. First thing in the morning, a lamb for the whole nation. Last thing in the evening, a lamb for the whole nation. Then during the day, individuals would bring. In between times, they'd have it all during the day. Then the sun goes down, they'd fix that fire so it'd burn all through the night. Next morning, come up, fire still burning. Have the next lamb for that day, the first lamb for that day. And they would have a lamb for the evening, and it would day after day. A constant testimony. So this is what this nation believes. They stand for it. This is the message. Now, he not only had a lamb, but notice something else that they had. They were to offer. Look at verse 40 again. "And with one lamb..." Yeah, verse 39, in the morning, the other at evening. All right, verse 40. "And with the one lamb," here's something else they're supposed to put with them, "a tenth deal," that's a type of measurement, shows them how much of flour, wheat flour, barley flour. A certain amount of flour here. And of course, they couldn't offer just any kind. He tells exactly what kind of flour it different times. But anyway, it's a meal offering. It's from a plant. A tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hen, another measurement, a hen, of beaten oil. And the oil, of course, represents the Holy Spirit, is mixed with this. And the meal would represent the resurrected body of Christ, as we'll see. And Christ was full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and the fourth part of a hen of wine for a drink offering. And another certain amount of measure. So they'd bring the meal, they'd bring the oil, they'd bring the wine, and they mix these things and put it on the altar. And of course, this is what's called a mincha. A mincha, grain offering. And he would offer this on the altar along with the lamb. So here you have a lamb, the blood shed. He dies, picturing how Christ would die for our sins. And then you have this here, this one that has died. He's been buried now. But he comes up, just like a seed put in the ground, some kind of grain seed, comes up like a picture of a resurrection. He comes up, and that's offered. Here's, he's resurrected. Picture of his death and his resurrection. And when he's resurrected, he's still led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has life, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he has perfect life, a perfect blood. And you remember when Jesus established the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He said, this is my blood. Speaking of the wine. This is my blood which is shed for you. And so wine is used to picture the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that's what it's picturing here. But anyway, let's go on. In verse 41, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening, and shalt do thereunto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle, right at where that brazen altar is, of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak unto you. And so, this is the describing exactly what Abel did. So, well, that's the way Abel did it. He was doing it for an individual. Now he's established it for the nation. Amen. And he's added a couple things here, the wine and the oil, to teach more truth. But he doesn't change anything. He just adds more truth about that. And so what you have here, you have a lamb, and you bring that offering to the Lord. And remember what John the Baptist said, we pointed out last night when he introduced Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. What's he going to do? Which taketh away the sin of the world. Boy, what a message. That's the way to start your ministry. Well, anyway, he had that lamb, and he would have these other things, the oil with him, to show the fullness and leadership of the Holy Spirit and the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God and man. And as man, he needed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about the wine. He died, but he still got life. He's got the drink offering there with him. And so, and they're doing it morning and evening. Burns all night. Morning, evening, continual. Throughout their history, it's supposed to go on. Now, they went into captivity, Babylonian captivity. And, of course, they couldn't, as a nation, do that. They destroyed the temple, and they couldn't do it. They could still offer individuals that might have to sneak around and do it with being in captivity. I don't know. They weren't too friendly to their religion, the true religion. But anyway, what is this? And another thing before I leave this passage, look at verse 41. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening, and shall do thereunto according to the meat offering. That's that word mincha. Going to be like a mincha. That's what it was, exactly the same, a mincha. And so, you see, wait a minute. Abel brought the firstling of his flock. That's what this lamb is. They're doing bringing the very best type of lamb. And he offered with that a mincha, a grain offering. And that's what they're doing here. The offering is the same truths as was in the Old Testament. As individuals in the book of Genesis. And he doesn't go into detail except one other time in the book of Numbers after they had gotten in trouble in the wilderness and you had that rebellion and God went over the law again with them and that generation died because of their rebellion against the Lord. And in the Numbers, I've got it printed here, too, so you can look at Numbers, the 28th chapter. But if you read that, it's the same basic thing, the first 10 verses in Numbers. But, you know, he established it, that one generation died in the wilderness, most of them, their children 20 years old and under. They would go on. The Lord still kept them as his nation, but then he went over the law again with them. Teaches the same thing. And then when you go after this, it mentions the meat offering, but usually not much is said about it because he's already explained it at the beginning of the history of the nation. And so he follows the same procedure as he followed previously. So we don't need to have it repeated over and over and over. Sometimes it's said, they'll go on a missionary journey in the book of Acts. And certain people believed and they were baptized. Doesn't go into believe what? Well, what they preached when they got people saved by a New Testament church. You didn't have to explain all over the gospel message. And the same, well, they didn't explain the baptism. Well, he's already explained it. And so he'll explain it, different scriptures, at the beginning usually. He'll do that. And then the rest of it, when we see it, we're to assume it's the same thing. And so in the days before there was a nation of Israel, individuals worshiped from the days of Adam. Teaches briefly how they pictured the gospel all the way through Genesis. Then he established the nation. He had some special for the whole nation together. And he adds something. He has this daily morning and evening sacrifice that was to go on for the rest of their history. Doesn't have to explain anymore, but it's the same basic thing as for the individual. But here, a few differences. The priest will handle it. Every person in the nation can't get in there to get their hands on that offering. There has to be some representative. And so they get a priest. Certain ones of the tribe of Levi were appointed to be priests. And these priests were trained, and they were to teach the people, and they were also to lead in this worship according to what God had given them in the ceremonial law at Mount Sinai. And they were to guide in that worship. As an individual, the head of the household, the man, would get out there, and he'd lead in it. That's the way it goes. So this is what we have here, and it's a tremendous testimony of the gospel. But we're going to stop there because the ladies have done their job again, I know, and I'm looking forward to getting down there and tasting some of that job. All right, thank you for your good attention. And before we go down there, let's have prayer. And Brother Jeff, you want to lead us in prayer and bless the food?